former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're rocking and rolling on a busy Tuesday. Welcome back into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. We're live on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonantoni with you. Set the table for the next hour. Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll get into plenty of NBA conversation with VSiN's own Jonathan Von Tobel as well. Get his thoughts on last night, bets for this evening, as well as looking ahead to Wednesday. And we saw just a little bit ago that his Clippers are going to be down Kawhi Leonard, it appears, tomorrow. So lots to get to, Michael, but let's start in the NBA yesterday, where Jamal Murray, despite being questionable throughout the day, ends up coming in the clutch, 32 points. He hits the game winner with 3.5 seconds to go, and LeBron and the Lakers are donezo, back-to-back years at the hands of the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, now, you know, LeBron, no Kevin Durant, you know, soon to be no Joel Embiid. I mean, you know, look, the stars are wilting away. I mean, it's unfortunate. And we are going to enter into the where will LeBron play next year? Will he try to go to a team that drafts Bronny? Will he, you know, he has that 1 year on a contract where he can opt out by June 29th. Certainly going to opt out. You know, and where does he end up going? I mean, Elliot was in my ear during the break. Could he go to San Antonio? I mean, you know, LeBron could go anywhere, I guess. You know, whatever he was, he still plays at a high level. I mean, could you imagine if they could cut down his minutes a little bit and play that way? But the other thing I think that's pretty clear after last night is, are these all-star teams going to become the thing of the future, or have we kind of, or have they run their course, Stormy? For me, I think they've run their course. I mean, Phoenix is in trouble. What, they can only trade Booker, Durant, and their center. That's the only three players they could trade. The 76ers, when they get eliminated, what are they going to do, right? You know, we see that Milwaukee's in deep trouble if they get eliminated. It's kind of interesting how teams have always said we're going to be able to work the cap, but then they get trapped by the cap.
Yeah, the Suns, I can't get over still. It's just like the talent that you have and to accomplish legitimately nothing with that group is just crazy to think about. Obviously, they ultimately end up getting swept. LeBron, not swept, but four games to one, not the result that you wanted. It's the earliest playoff exit of LeBron's career. He did have 30 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds as he wraps up his sixth season in LA. They won a championship, Michael. They did get to 2 Western Conference finals, 4 playoff appearances, but 2 seasons without the postseason and now this early elimination. He could potentially re-sign with the Lakers if he doesn't decline his option. It's a 3-year, $162 million extension, even a 2-year, $104 million extension with a player option in that second year to become a free agent after the upcoming season. But Brian Windhorst said that he expects that that's not going to happen, that he'll decline the option and become a free agent for the first time since 2018. And to your point, like, you wonder where that place is going to be. He said all along his dream is to play with his son. So if you're the Lakers, is your best chance of keeping LeBron drafting Bronny? Like, what do you do here? That's what he has said he has wanted all along.
Well, I think, to me, LeBron better think about going to the East, because what's been proven so far is he can't beat the Denver Nuggets. And I don't think they're going to move the Denver Nuggets to the East so Bronny can go with him to join them in Los Angeles. I just somehow don't think that, right? So, look, I think this is the question. Does he go to a team in the East? I know it's tough to give up that L.A. lifestyle, but you can't beat Denver, and you're not going to be able to continue to beat Denver. The other thing is these poor coaches, and I'm not saying that Darvin Ham doesn't deserve blame. Frank Vogel, I think if I was an NBA coach and you called me up to coach this all-star team, I would say no thank you. Because if you don't win, it's your fault. If you win, it's the player's reason why you won, right? I mean, they fired the guy in Milwaukee, and Doc comes in, and he's 2 games under .500 coaching the same players. So it's a really hard job. And I think what LeBron's going to do is going to dominate. There's nothing better for the worldwide leader than LeBron. That's what's on my mind today, because we're going to just get inundated with LeBron. You know, he got up at 1 a.m. to go to the bathroom. We're going to hear all the reports of what LeBron did. You know, he went here. He and Bronny are working out here. You know, I mean, it's just going to be, it's going to be all LeBron 24/7. It's back to Tim Tebow again, you know? And so, like, look, I get it. He's a great player, Hall of Fame, generational talent. But at some point, you know, where is he going to go? Does it really, can't we just wait till he decides?
It's
Do we have to cover every movement?
Well, I mean, Michael, LeBron loves being in the news cycle too, okay? He loves being the topic of attention. Yes. Otherwise, he wouldn't make the comments like he did after the game with that pregnant pause and moving on. So with when it comes to this and his next landing spot, I wonder, because we know midseason there was the conversation that evidently took place with the Golden State Warriors. Could we have an aging super team in Golden State? Could that be a landing spot? That way he still stays in California. I know it is the West, but with a different batch of players that have had success even recently, although they didn't make the playoffs this past season, like they only won a championship a couple years ago. So could that be an option maybe?
I mean, anything, but you know, it's amazing. LeBron never gets criticized for being the GM. He never gets criticized for being a GM. And do you think for 1 minute the team's signing a player that LeBron doesn't sign off on? Mm. Do you think for 1 minute that doesn't happen? I mean, like, seriously, he never gets criticized for being the GM of the team. Look, I think anything's possible with LeBron, but I will say this to you, and I'm going to hang by this for the next 60 days, because 60 days from today, the Joel Embiid, I need to be traded news will break. You know, that'll be the next thing that happens. And when that happens, it'll be easy. But if I were LeBron, I would want to get to the East. Okay. You know, I would want to get somewhere where I didn't have to deal with Denver. We see Boston, you know, do you want to deal with them? Really good team, Boston. But without Porzingis, that could be trouble for Boston. I mean, they could lose to New York the way New York's playing right now. Now, New York's down two key role players in this series. Probably won't play tonight, Bogdanović and Mitchell Robinson. So I think a lot of that will come down. But why would you want to stay in the West with Oklahoma City, with Minnesota, with Denver? You can't beat any of those teams.
All fair points. Also, to put a bow on your thoughts on Darvin Ham, ESPN's Dave McMenamin reporting his job is very much in jeopardy, and the team will make that decision in the coming days. And Shams followed it up, calling it highly unlikely that Darvin Ham does return. The defending champion.
It has to be his fault. It has to be. You know, he didn't call. He didn't. When LeBron went berserk and he didn't challenge that call, I said to myself, this is over. This is going to end here. This is over.
The defending champion Nuggets, now a big favorite against the Timberwolves, a bit bigger than I anticipated. Denver laying -230, Minnesota +195 on DraftKings. Also last night in the NBA, under swept the board. And speaking of sweeps, the Thunder got the brooms out against the Pelicans. They went and cover the 4.5 with a 97-89 win. So cash those four games to none tickets if you had them. Celtics also topped the Heat 102-88, covering as a double-digit favorite to take a 3-1 East playoff series lead. Since their game 2 loss at home, Boston has responded with 14 and 20 point wins in Miami. Game 5 coming up tomorrow. The Seas are laying 14, total 199.5. Now that gets us to tonight, Michael, where you have referenced it a number of times, and I will let you speak your piece on the Philadelphia 76ers facing elimination against the Knicks.
There is no peace. Look, I mean, he has a migraine. Can you imagine the most important game of the year? I can remember when they were playing Toronto. A friend of mine who's a basketball agent called me on the phone and said, they're literally calling Leon Rose, who was his former agent, to talk to him about, you got to play in this game. You know, he had something wrong with him. I don't know what it was, but there's always something. But look, the reality of it is you can't cure conditioning in one day. He's not in great shape. You know, you could say, well, they can't play him. They got to rest him at some point during the game. Look, in the second half, he was exhausted. The 12 points he scored in the third quarter were most from the free throw line. So I think to me, this is an uphill climb for Philly because, you know, they're playing with a guy that they need to play at a dominant level, at a high level, which he's capable of doing, because I'm not disputing his talent. I'm really not. I'm disputing his competitiveness and his conditioning. That's what I have the hardest problem with. He is really talented, but he doesn't play with toughness and he doesn't play with that talent. You know, he's never really in the low post. I mean, watch tonight, Stormy, when he starts he gets the ball on the wing like he's a three guard. So I don't have a lot of hope, and the Garden's going to be electric. And they're going to come after him. It's going to be interesting to watch.
And because of that lack of conditioning, though, Michael, he does at certain points in the game have to sit And immediately when he sits and he's no longer on the court, it's just begging the other team to go on a run, because that's what happens when he's not available. So it's such a double-edged sword, I feel like, with Joel Embiid from that standpoint. Again, they're down 3-0. The Knicks laying 4 in the Garden tonight. That place is absolutely going to be rocking. But it was funny, one of our great producers here, Justin, who fills in on our show every now and then, he was saying, does this game not have it written all over it that the 76ers are gonna win, they're gonna get your hopes up, then they're gonna go back home to Philly and lose by 30? Like, that's just how this feels.
That's usually how it is, right?
They're gonna somehow win in that environment tonight, and then it's gonna just blow it.
And then they'll win in Philly and lose in game 7 in New York. You know, that could easily be the case here. But you got to be in shape to do that. Look, I think, you know, one of the things I said, why you asked me when we were together on Friday in Las Vegas, I said, what do you think tomorrow for the Saturday? I said, well, when he gets 2 days extra rest, it helps. But now we're on this every other day program, yeah. And with his migraines problems, and, you know, I mean, it's going to be challenging. But I think Dustin's right. I think sometimes this happens. Look, remember last year when they had a chance to knock Boston out? They were up a game. They had a chance to get the lead. Go back to that game. Watch what he did in that fourth quarter of that game when they could have put Boston away. And then they had to go back up to Boston for game 7. And by the third quarter, Doc was playing all the backups because the game was over.
Also tonight,
game 7, the game was over.
Also tonight, Magic Cavs series tied at 2. Cleveland laying 5, total 201.5. And Pacers laying 4 in Milwaukee against the Bucks, total up to 216. The Bucks, without their 2 leading scorers, not expected to have Giannis Antetokounmpo or Dame tonight. We'll talk about that game more with JVT a little bit later. But when we come back, Jim Nagy, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, will join us on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, the NFL draft is in the rear view, but still so much to dive into as we discuss these players and teams moving forward into 2024. There were, Michael, a record 110 participants from this past year's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, that heard their name called in Detroit this week. So who better to break it all down with than Jim Nagy, friend of the show, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, 18-year NFL scout, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. How are you, Jim? Heck of a weekend, I bet.
Yeah, Stormy, Mike, thanks for having me on. Yeah, we can't get through the draft and not take some time to digest it, right? That's what we got to do. We spent too much time building this thing. Let's talk about where these guys are headed.
Yeah, Michael, we got to get more runway out of this thing, huh?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we got to continue to talk about it. Jim, let me ask you, when you were you invited Michael Penix to the Senior Bowl, correct?
Yes.
And he participated in the Senior Bowl, right?
He did.
Did he throw any footballs while he was at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, absolutely. He threw a ton.
Okay. Well, there lies my line of questioning, Stormy. Then how can the Atlanta Falcons say it took them until April's workout for them to decide that Michael Penix had the most amazing arm they've ever seen? Like, I'm calling you to the witness stand as a key witness in this ridiculous, ridiculous notion that it took them to April to decide that Michael Penix had a really good arm. And you as the lead witness, because you run the Senior Bowl, you invited them, you did your job, you put it out there on a plate for them, and yet for some reason they couldn't see it. Were you as shocked as I was when they made that pick?
Mike, I don't think you and I ever get shocked on draft weekend. I mean, I was certainly surprised, but we've seen some shocking stuff. We've seen some surprising stuff. I will say this for the Falcons, in their defense, if I'm on the stand, Kyle Smith, who is their number 2 guy in the personnel department, you know, AJ's son, I know, you know, AJ well. And then, Terry Fontenot, the GM, were not in Mobile because they were hiring coaches. We had to know, you know, John Schneider wasn't at the Senior Bowl this year because he was hiring Mike McDonald. So they were not there. I'm not saying Kyle didn't go to Seattle and see, you know, Penix throw at some point during the year. I actually do know that Kyle was going to Penix's pro day because the last time I was with Kyle was at the LSU pro day. But no, they obviously the Falcons had a lot of people there at the Senior Bowl, but those 2 decision makers weren't there.
Every year we have something that is... like, expect the unexpected in the draft, basically, is what you were saying off the top. And I totally agree, because every year there is something that just makes us scratch our heads and say why. But, you know, they saw it. Sure. One player from the Reese's Senior Bowl that I loved getting the opportunity to see shine was Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo. And I think the Eagles got an absolute steal that he was available for them at number 22. What can you tell us about Quinyon and what the Eagles are getting in that product?
Yeah, I mean, he's a really talented corner, big corner. You didn't see him press a lot. Like, Mobile matters for these guys for different reasons. There's different reasons why the week brings value to them. And one of the biggest things is you're seeing guys do things they weren't asked to do at their college. And Quinyon played a lot of off man and zone at Toledo. I was just there. I just visited there. I spoke to their team last week on Friday after he got picked. So awesome culture, awesome building. I think the teams love the fact that he stayed there and he was loyal to his guys, loyal to that coaching staff that brought him in out of high school. But the press man stuff, when he got his hands on people in Mobile, is where everyone was like, okay, wow, this guy could be an elite press man corner. And the thing I love about him is that, Stormy, is that there was a lot of agents through the process that he was talking to or trying to steer him away from coming to Mobile. And the one guy that he ended up signing with was pushing him to come because he knew he wanted to prove himself against better competition. So going against the Ricky Pearsalls and the Roman Wilsons every day in practice, like, that agent felt like he needed that coming from the Mid-American Conference. And he came and he moved up and he made himself a lot of money. And I just love guys that aren't afraid to compete. So great landing spot. I know Philly was kind of targeting him the whole time. And the fact that they sat there at 22 and didn't have to move, still got the guy they wanted because of all those offensive guys, that long run at the start on offense. Pretty cool to see that thing play out.
You know, you mentioned Ricky Pearsall. Were you surprised? I mean, this is a really talented player, transferred from Arizona State to Florida. You know, didn't really have a great quarterback to play with the past year, but really talented. Were you surprised that the Niners passed on Keon Coleman to take Pearsall?
No, I wasn't. I was surprised. When people ask me what was the surprise outside of Penix, I have said Ricky sneaking into one. Not that I don't disagree with the pick at all, because I think Ricky's a phenomenal player. I just think, you know, for what they do, he brings something unique to that offense right now. I mean, he's, you know, in terms of indifference to Coleman, you know, I mean, Ricky's a high 4.3, low 4.4 guy. Keon Coleman was 4.6, 1. And again, I get that's not really, Keon doesn't have a speed-based game. I mean, I think if I were trying to sell Keon, I would say, okay, guys, we had a 6'4 guy that played for Tom Izzo. It's one thing to play college basketball at some smaller school. He was playing at Michigan State, and he was a 6'4 punt returner. And we don't see a lot of 6'3, 6'4 punt returners either. So that tells you what kind of athlete the guy is. But yeah, Mike, I was a little surprised that he did go that range, but I certainly disagree with it because I think Pearsall is going to be a really good player.
This is the Lombardi Line with Senior Bowl Executive Director, 18-year NFL scout Jim Nagy, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. I know that the true grades of these draft classes are not going to be known for still a few more years to come, but on paper, were there a team or two that you thought did a really, really nice job and improved their team most?
I liked what Pittsburgh did. You know, I like Troy Fatanu and Zach Frazier. That's two guys are going to plug right in and start on the offensive line. I think, you know, Peyton Wilson, the linebacker, is a guy that I just talked to a team today that it was all about the medical. You know, they were ready to jump on him if he slipped out of the third round. If that knee holds up, and none of us are doctors, but if that knee holds up in terms of, you know, motor, speed, instincts, this dude is going to be a really good linebacker for them. So I like what Pittsburgh did. I really like what Adam Peters did in his first draft in Washington. Liked how a lot of those picks came off. You know, he took high character guys, Mikey Sainerstrow from Michigan, Brandon Coleman from TCU, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State. Those are, I mean, we didn't have Sainerstrow, but we had a bunch of those guys, and they stuck to their guns. They took a bunch of high character guys that love football and love to compete. And I don't know how you go wrong that way, you know, following up the Jaden Daniels pick. So that was big too, but I thought AP and DQ did a good job in their first draft together.
Jim, were you surprised that it took 15 picks before a defensive player went?
Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, you've probably done the numbers, Mike, or had someone on your staff to run the numbers on that. I can't remember a time like that. So I was saying that the other day, like, Chris Ballard had to have been sitting there, at 15 going, we get our pick of defensive players right here. Like that is so unusual. I was talking to someone was asking me about Jared Verse, the Florida State guy. It was a Florida State podcast or something like that. And he could have been a top 10 pick in a normal year without all those quarterbacks. So I was really happy for Lietu Latu. I felt like there was a lot of people on social media that were kind of railing against him through the process because they knew about the medical, right? Like Mike, you and I, even now, like we don't know the medicals. When you're working for a team, you know the medicals. Right. When you're not, you don't. I just felt like, Mike, I don't know if you felt this way. I felt like the average fan felt like they had some insider info with Latu's medical. And so they just use that as an excuse to like beat the kid down through the process. And shoot, I said all along, it only takes one. And we've seen a lot of guys with neck issues in college go on to the pros and play well. So obviously I'm pulling for him. He's an unbelievable kid or human being, young man, not a kid anymore. He's been through a ton. On that fast track in Indy where all those guys run fast at the combine, that guy's going to be hell on wheels coming off the edge.
And joining a Colts team that ranked 27th in pressure percentage last season, they've had one player with double-digit sacks in the last 5 years. I think that there's a lot of reason to be excited about Lietu Latu. Last thing before we let you go, Jim, is there any other player from the Senior Bowl that maybe an under-the-radar guy that you are excited about his landing spot and where he's going to end up?
Oh, off the top of my head, one that I really liked was Kamani Vidal, the running back from Troy, going to the Chargers. I know they've got J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards over from Baltimore, came over with Joe Ortiz, their new GM. I think those things are kind of one-year rental things. Kamani Vidal, for people that haven't watched him, we were doing 7 hours of radio the other day on Sirius doing the day three coverage. And I said, Kamani Vidal is the guy that, say, Dobbins goes down early or Edwards, and this guy gets his chance in week five. He's going to rush for like 120 yards, and the fantasy community is going, who is this kid? For, you know, who's this Kamani Vidal guy? He was the best pass pro running back in this draft. And Mike will tell you, I mean, no coaches are going to put these young guys on the field if they can't protect the quarterback. And Kamani's excellent at it. And so he's going to get on the field for those guys. He's going to have a role. He's a really good player.
I covered him in the Sun Belt Championship this past year, and the dude went off. Lead rusher in Troy history. Big fan. I love that, Jim. Thank you so much for sharing and appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks.
Great job,
thanks,
Jim.
Mike.
Thank you. You're the good witness. You're a good witness, Jim. Thank you.
No question. That's the best. Jim Nagy, again, executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, doing great things for all of these draft prospects each and every year. We're going to hit the break, turning the page to the NBA when we come back. VSiN's own JVT joining us, get his thoughts on the slate coming up tonight.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN.com is your fully loaded one-stop shop for all things betting. You want daily plays or series bets for the NBA and NHL postseason? We've got you covered. Best bets and in-season futures opportunities in Major League Baseball, done. With the draft in the rear view, we're not giving you draft winners and losers, but individual team and division breakdowns examining how the draft may or may not impact the market. Check out VSiN.com today. Speaking of which, coming off last night's knockout of the Lakers, our own Jonathan Von Tobel has a preview live right now of the Nuggets and Timberwolves. JVT joins us now on the Lombardi Line, host of VSiN Primetime, our lead NBA analyst here at the network, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. And JVT, maybe let's just start there quickly. Were you surprised to see just how big of a favorite the Nuggets were against the Timberwolves already?
No, I don't think so. And I think we saw the market respond, though, Stormy, to your like kind of point there, right? Which is, you know, opener of some spots minus 270, minus 250. Let's knock that thing down pretty quickly. So they're now minus 215 series favorites. So we did see kind of what we're going down the path of, which is support for Minnesota, which I also think is really fascinating because if you remember in this first series against Phoenix, market couldn't stop themselves from betting the Phoenix Suns. They'd flipped that series price to a favorite. Phoenix was a minus $1.35 or some spots, $1.40 favorite in that series in which they didn't end up winning a game or even covering a game. So I think the market's kind of, as I put it in the series preview, learned its lesson a little bit here. This Minnesota Timberwolves team is better than it was last year. It's deeper. Jaden McDaniels and Naz Reid did not play in that first round series against the Denver Nuggets. So I think the market's getting this right in supporting a Minnesota Timberwolves team that is built to match up with the Denver Nuggets.
Why do you think Minnesota's not getting enough respect? I mean, they handled the first round rather easily against the Phoenix Suns, right? And they dominated them in the second half, kind of ran away with it. And now they're kind of like Denver, with Anthony Edwards playing at his level. I know Fitch might not be on the sideline with the torn patella tendon, so they lose their coach. But what do you think the reason is why they're not getting enough respect?
Yeah, I think part of it, Michael, is like you go back to the first series, right? And a lot of people got super randy over the fact that the Suns had beat them in each game in the regular season and kind of ignored the fact that two of the three games were in Phoenix. And in those two games, they shot nearly 60% from three, right? Like that's kind of lost in the sauce when you evaluate something like that. And the Suns are a very, I will call them a public-esque team in that they have the big stars. So you kind of go in on that team, right? And then you get to this point right now, and I think you mentioned one of the key factors, is Finch going to be on the sidelines? Not having him to adjust on a minute-to-minute basis is maybe a little bit of a change for Minnesota because he is a very, very good coach. And I also think part of it, too, is, look, it's Denver, right? It's the defending champs. It's the best player in the world. They still are a potent team, as we saw, beating the Los Angeles Lakers in five games. And, yes, did they trail for a vast majority of the series despite ending it very quickly? Yes, but I do think that you deserve to respect Denver a little bit here. They are still the slightly power or higher power rated team. The question we just have to ask ourselves as bettors is, okay, is this rating too high on Denver? Are we not giving Minnesota enough respect when it comes to their power rating? Should this be a near pick when it comes to a series price? Because, guys, they split the season series 2-2, and coming out of four games, the Timberwolves are the one with a plus 5.7 net rating against Denver. Denver only averaged 109.1 points per 100 possessions. Their half-court offensive rating, if they had had that for the full season, that would have been the third worst half-court offensive rating in the NBA. This is Denver we're talking about against Minnesota. So, Michael, your overall point, like, I do think that the market is getting this right and pushing this down, but also a lot of people have to consider that the Timberwolves could pull this off and win this series.
Plus 180, again, that price right now on Minnesota. Something, JVT, that Michael and I have talked about a couple of times on the show today is the fact that Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James combined for one playoff win this postseason. And KD and the Suns, is there been a team that has accomplished less with more? You look at LeBron and his runway potentially ending there with the Lakers. Is this a time where maybe we'll look back on this postseason and say this is when the page is turning and there's going to be a changing of the guard in who the superstars in this league are? Because those three guys have been the guys over the last decade plus, and now there's a lot of this young homegrown talent and better teams coming up from the rear view.
Yeah, it's the GIF or the meme from Malcolm in the Middle, right? The future is now, old man. this is it. Like it does seem to be the case. Now, I think a lot of these teams, like the dying embers of these superstars, however many years they have left, will probably make a push, Stormy. You know, initially, the two teams that you're always going to hear about post-Phoenix collapse is, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers, but also the Golden State Warriors. Do you run that thing back? Do you try to get Kevin Durant back in that uniform and try to give this one last go? Because as you mentioned, it's not even just superstars, but like these teams are really good, right? Like Oklahoma City has Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's also got an awesome team. Minnesota has Anthony Edwards. It's also got an awesome team. You know, we could go down the list of teams. Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Like that is another team that these old, long in the tooth veterans have to somehow get past. And these teams have eliminated them, as we've kind of mentioned here already. So it does seem like that's the case. I don't think that I would say like 100% certainty that none of those guys are going to win another title, because it just takes a run and some key injuries or whatnot to get there. But it very much seems that we are in the direction of, no, like this is it. Like this is changing. And in the next few years, we're going to regularly talk about Anthony Edwards and Luka Doncic battling for titles, or, you know, Jason Tatum and Joel Embiid maybe battling for titles, you know, like all of these things. Stop. I think that's going to be something that we're going to be talking about
Stop.
In the future. For sure.
Stop. You know that's never going to happen. Stop. It's never going to happen. So I want to ask you this.
Had to do
it. It's never going to happen. I've said it 8 years ago. It's never going to happen. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Why would LeBron sign with any West team? You just went right through it. Oklahoma City's a really good team. Minnesota's a really good team. Right. You know, Denver, he can't even beat Denver's team with Anthony Davis alongside of him. Like, why wouldn't he be thinking about the East? You know, you trying to give the Sixers Paul George. I mean, Daryl Morey will be all in on LeBron and Bronny.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that's the last part that you mentioned, right, is the big one, Michael, which is what's going to happen with Bronny, and does LeBron really want to play with him that badly, to the point where these teams would reach on him in the draft acquire him, and then, of course, get a year or two of LeBron James and potentially push for a title? Would all of that happen? Would it all be worth it? And that's the real question. And I think, like, to your point, you'll remember, what was it, 4 years ago, or whatever, whenever he signed for the Lakers, LeBron in Philly was like the thing. Everybody thought after that big run that they had going into the postseason, they flamed out with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons really quickly, but that was going to be the match that was going to be created. So I do think it makes sense that if you're a team out there, whether it's Eastern Conference or Western Conference, but specifically, like you said, if you want the path of least resistance, you go out into the East and you go, all right, we got to contend with Boston. We got to contend maybe with Milwaukee if they get their stuff together. And that's about it. If I pick any one of these other teams to go and join, do I go back to Miami? Do I go to Cleveland? All these sort of things. So I do think that, and whether or not Bronny does end up in the NBA, is going to be fascinating, because does he want that enough to forgo the last year of his player contract? He does have an option for next year, and go wherever his son goes. I think that's obviously the big thing to watch here. And he kind of poo-pooed that yesterday.
Jonathan Von Tobel, lead NBA analyst, host of VSiN Primetime from 6 to 9 Eastern every weekday here at VSiN, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Three games coming up tonight, two teams facing elimination in the Philadelphia 76ers and Milwaukee Bucks. Joel Embiid apparently had a migraine this morning, missed shoot around, and Milwaukee likely without their two leading scorers. Do you think this is the end of the road for those two contenders in the East tonight?
I will say that it's probably the end of the road for Milwaukee, for sure, just given the fact that they are just so beleaguered with injury. And look, I wasn't overly impressed with Indiana in the last game, Stormy. When you're fighting tooth and nail against the Bobby Portis-less, Damian Lillard-less, Giannis Antetokounmpo-less Bucks, and eventually need a late fourth quarter to pull away, that's not a good look for you. So you're probably going to get snuffed out in the next round. But for Philly and New York, look, I'll just say this, because I know, you know, how Michael feels about it. And how we watched in that fourth quarter, how the Knicks, with like everybody who's like Stormy's height and shorter, getting every offensive rebound imaginable, right, in that fourth quarter, when the other team has a big that is 7 foot and their best player and can't grab one. If you just clean up that, and they weren't a good defensive rebounding team by far, we should note that they were about 25th in defensive rebounding rate. You should be able to, at the very least, stay inside of this number. I think that of all of the options that are on the board right now, it would be Philly if you can grab that 4.5 to stay inside of a number, which in a series, this has been in clutch minutes almost every single game. It has come down to the wire. We know what happened in game two with these two teams. I think that that's probably the side you're most comfortable with. If you can get that 4.5 to pop back up here with Philadelphia and New York, that would be the buy price for me.
How about Cleveland, Orlando? Cleveland thought that, I mean, I thought Cleveland was going to run away with it in Orlando, and Orlando came storming back to win game two. How do you handicap the rest of the series in this game tonight?
Yeah, how about that? And for that one too, Michael, you had 111 points at halftime in that game four, right? Total, 201.5 stays under by the hook because that team scores 29 points in the second half. It was absolutely incredible. Look, this seems to be a home series, right? As we have seen, Cleveland goes, wins by margin in both the games at home, as we saw in games one and two. Orlando takes care of business by margin in games three and four. But I'll just say that unless Darius Garland is going to get better, or if you're going to get shooting from Max Strus and some bench production, the Cavs bench has been absolutely atrocious. You can make the argument Orlando is a deeper team at this point right now. I don't know why you would be rushing to lay five. I think that, you know, you could expect Orlando hasn't been that good on the road to maybe come out, not shoot particularly well. But for me, Michael, it's wait in game. This is going to be a tight series at the start. It's going to be a tight game at the start. If Orlando gets off to a decent start, you're going to be able to get a much cheaper price on Cleveland. That is the strategy for me here. I think Cleveland is going to be the side, but I'd rather try to find a cheaper price in game than lay five here right from the jump.
Appreciate your insight as always, JVT. Thanks for doing this.
Good to talk to you guys.
Great work, JVT. Thank you.
Jonathan Von Tobel. Follow him on X at MeJVT and tune into VSiN Primetime later on today, 6 to 9 Eastern, alongside Tim Murray live from Circa Resort and Casino. The Magic certainly did have their response at home, didn't they, Michael? 121-83 in game three, 112-89 in game four. Cavs lay in five tonight, total 201.5. When we come back to the NFL draft, six quarterbacks went in the top 12. We'll look at DraftKings rookie quarterback props when we return on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA postseason action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From now through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N. New customers that do can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Speaking of which, Michael, I've got a little pizza money that's burning a hole in my pocket. Yeah. So let's say...
Well, you've been hitting these parlays. I mean, you hit another one last night. I mean, my Lord.
I was excited about that
one. Are you hiding this money from Chris?
Shh, don't tell anybody. No, so last night was fun, again, because it was like a dual sweat because I'm watching a hockey game and just scoreboard watching like a hawk to see how the Nuggets and Lakers were going to close out because the Nuggets were that final leg of the just money line favorites parlay I put together, plus 155. So sometimes there are, you know, good prices you can get on that. But I've got a fake $20 in my pocket right now, Michael. If I could put this on... the Philadelphia 76ers at plus 650 to come back from down 3-1 and beat the Knicks in this series. Am I better off donating that to the beautiful children of St. Jude's or trying to cash that ticket? How would you put it?
No, it's St. Jude's. It's over. It's done. It gets hard. Anytime it gets harder, it gets less likely. That's my advice to you. You know, and I've done a lot of homework. I'm ready to go through the litany of trades, draft picks. Whenever we want to have this discussion, I've already done the homework for it. I'm ready to go. But I will say this to you. You know, I think anytime you look at them in game 7 of the series and you look at his numbers, I think I've researched it. I have it on my phone, actually. And I went to StatMuse to get it. But basically, okay, here it is here. Joel Embiid's last 3 elimination games. You ready? 22 points, 10 rebounds, 36.5 field goal percentage, and 23.5 from the three-point line. Bet at your own risk. But those kids need your money more than he does.
Well, what about the 4 tonight? Do we think that it could be a close game, come down to the wire again? Perhaps. Last game, obviously, 97-92 final. We had a really close game this past Monday, 104-101 the final. Can they cover the 4?
I think they could, Stormy. Look, let's be clear here. The Knicks are going to be down probably Mitchell Robinson and Bogdanovich, right? So they're two of their key role players. I mean, if they can get away with OG and Obi and Precious playing center for them, that's a tribute to them. I mean, Hartenstein will get in foul trouble. So this should be a close game. It should be. And they should have an opportunity to win it. And if they can pace themselves, like, you notice, is there any reason why they dominate the first? I mean, every game they've lost, they've played well in the first quarter. They've built leads in the first quarter. Why? Because he's fresh. But once he gets tired, it's over. Everybody keeps saying we got to rest him. No. Most of the time, great athletes, I mean, you know, they have a second gear. There's no second gear here.
The fourth quarter trust in Joel Embiid and the 76ers just doesn't exist at this point, unfortunately. But again, that is the spread right now. The 76ers getting 4 in what is a potential elimination game against the Knicks in the Garden coming up tonight. I just, you know, I had to see. I looked up the price in the commercial break. I had to ask the question. Plus 650 is what it would take for the 76ers to come back from down 3-1. Not nearly enough for Michael Lombardi. Let's close out the show talking draft once again, because there were a number of quarterbacks that came off the board, 6 of them in the top 12, which did not anticipate seeing there. That was an NFL draft record, 11 total names that you will recognize quarterbacks drafted in this year's class. And so with that, we have a number of rookie props that are coming out. We got passing yards, passing touchdowns, rookie passing leader, Caleb Williams is plus 105. So basically just even money to be the guy in this class that does it all. We know that he's going to be the starter for the Bears moving forward. Jaden Daniels is the second shortest shot, plus 250. J.J. McCarthy, plus 350. Bo Nix, 8-1, who we anticipate getting play there with the Denver Broncos. Drake May, 16-1, and the odds just get longer from there. But does it feel like all of these Caleb Williams props, this is the shortest that they're going to be at this point? How do you evaluate these types of markets at this point in the year?
Yeah, well, I think, look, Williams, if he's trying to throw it as much as this, where he's going to get almost 3,500, over 3,500 yards, you've got to say to yourself, you know, what are they doing defensively? See, like, I think Jaden Daniels, knowing that Washington's not going to be able to dominate, knowing that Washington's not going to be able to walk in and just, you know, beat teams, I think you have to kind of look at Jaden Daniels as throwing a lot of junk yards, right? I think that's probably it. Whereas the Bears are going to be, they're going to make a lot of explosive plays because they have all these skill players on their team. But I can't imagine they're going to walk into the situation and throw it. I mean, last year we saw C.J. Stroud. He threw for 4,100 yards, and he missed two games. And he threw for 4,100, but they made a lot of big plays, and their defense was really good. So I think the number's right. I think Daniel's number, because of the way the Washington football team may have to play, you could get over it. Like Bo Nix, I mean, we know Denver's going to run the ball. We know he's going to start 17 games. So that's the one thing. We know that. We know he'll start 17 games because that's what Sean's going to want to do. So 17 games divided by 3,000, you're not throwing for a lot of yards. You're really not.
So that's what I was going to ask you. Like some of these Bo Nix ones for the rookie passing yards prop you just mentioned, 3,000.5 over even money, under minus 120. His touchdown set at 18.5. Same odds there, over and under. I mean, Russell Wilson's coming off 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions in 15 games a year ago. Even if you have that same like thought process running your offense, that it is going to be a little more dink and dunk. Like if Russell Wilson had 26 last year, Bo Nix can't get 19 if he's healthy.
Well, but Russell Wilson only had 3,070 yards. That's why I think they set the number. And he only played in 15 games. Mm-hmm. Think about that. You know, and then and Stidham came in and played in two games and threw for almost 500 yards. He threw for 496. So, yeah, I agree with you on the touchdown pass, especially with Nix's ability to make plays on the move. The second best player in this draft in terms of making the second play was Bo Nix. You know, it was not Daniels. Daniels, when he took off, he ran. You know, it wasn't McCarthy, it was Bo Nix. And so if that's the case, and he starts to move, all of a sudden throws touchdown pass.
Any other thoughts on these touchdown numbers? Caleb Williams over under set at 25.5. J.J. McCarthy, 20.5. Jaden Daniels, 19.5. All with plus money or even money to the over.
I mean, when you're looking at Jaden Daniels, just that's one touchdown pass per game. I think you have to start this way, Stormy. Who's going to play 17 games, assuming he could stay healthy? Okay. Who's going to do the best job of protecting the quarterback? Who's going to do the best job of making sure the quarterback's successful? You know, we used to laugh all the time when Chad Pennington was playing for the Jets and the ball was on the one-yard line. Paul Hackett, Nathaniel Hackett's father, was the offensive coordinator. You were always getting some kind of play-action pass because he was going to give Pennington a touchdown pass for 1 yard and his quarterback rating was going to go through the roof. You know, I'm not saying Sean's going to do that with Nix, but Nix is going to have good numbers. His touchdown to interception ratio is going to be very good. That's why he drafted him. I would be like you. I would play that 18.5. That's just a little more than one, slightly one per game. Come on now.
And again, like he's going to be the player. They drafted him with that in mind. Sean Payton wanted his guy. That's who it is. And he was raving about how this is the most accurate player in college football history by the time that he ended his career. Finished his college career leading all of the NCAA in passing yards and completion percentage. So he turned things around in Oregon. Let's see what he can do in Denver. When it comes to the Commanders, what have you thought about the things they've tried to do to upgrade that offensive line and protection for their young quarterback?
Well, they've tried, and that's the real concern you have, right? I mean, that's the concern you have. Can they? They've put their money. They've tried to put money into it in the offseason. You know, they got to count on Cornelius Lucas to come through for them at left tackle. They drafted the Coleman kid in the third round. He's got to come through. They signed Allegretti, the kid who had to come in and play with the torn tricep in the Super Bowl for the Chiefs. They've signed Valdez from the Cowboys. They've tried. I mean, it's not going to be a great line, but here's what I do know. They're going to run a little bit more than they did last year. Last year, they were 32nd in rushing attempts, calling running plays, 32nd. They were 7th in yards gained per attempt. Completely off kilter. When you can average, your 7th team in the league averaging runs, and you only call it the last in the league, somebody's not paying attention. And that was the case. Washington, I wrote this for tomorrow. Washington's going to be better. I don't know if I would go to 7 wins with them, but they're going to look better. They're going to be in games more than they were last year.
Real quick, Michael, because we got to go. J.J. McCarthy, do you avoid his props because of the Sam Darnold of it all?
Yep. I just don't trust that he's going to play right away.
That was my thought as well.
I think they signed Darnold. I think they have a plan. I think they have a plan, and the plan is it's not going to be 17 games. Knicks, it's going to be 17 games.
Great stuff. Fun show as always. We'll be back tomorrow with a little Why Not Wednesday, everyone's favorite segment.
Why not?
On the show.
Yes. Yes. I can't wait for Joel Embiid. I hope the headache goes away.
We shall see. Good luck with your bets, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.